The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Happy Monday, Chuck and Chernoff in your ear for the next hour. We're on The Fan on FM at 93.7, AMing it. You're like, Matt, you're on AM. Yeah, we are. We're still trying our best to keep that thing going. 680 AM and, of course, worldwide on the 680 The Fan mobile app. This is a big week. Braves opening week is here. These six-time defending NL East champions. We'll try to notch number seven in their belt. They'll open on Thursday.
I watch baseball.
We're glad to hear that, Chuck. Thursday afternoon in Philadelphia against the Phillies. You'll hear all the action here on The Fan, FM, AM, and again, your app. Have your app downloaded. Your 680 The Fan app.
The beef.
And have it ready to tap on Thursday. Before we dig into the Braves and the tournament and Shohei, we've got to get to a top story. Chuck, this happened on the set of the 1987 classic film, The Princess Bride. Andre the Giant once let a 16-second fart rip from his behind that brought production to a standstill. Nobody at the time said anything except the film's director, Rob Reiner, who said, "Are you okay, Andre?" To which the big man replied, quote, "I am now, boss." That's our top story.
Your entire reading of that was only 18 seconds. So instead of words, imagine if it was...
Can you seriously do that? But is it one long fought?
No, it has to be. And he had to have been, like, governing that one. Like, it was a valve. He was letting it just kind of, you know.
In all honesty, 16 seconds is forever. And if you're on that set.
He was working for that.
Fred Savage is there, and Rob Reiner's directing, and everybody's standing around, and Andre is just ripping ass for 16 seconds. Like, that is, I'd clear the set. 5-minute break. Everybody go to dinner.
There's an elephant in here somewhere.
There it is.
Get some fans in here, please.
I mean, my goodness. But Andre was so nonchalant. Are you okay, Andre? I am now, boss. Bet he felt great.
Well, maybe he had a bucket of chicken for lunch.
Or, I don't know, some goldfish.
Anything a lot of cheese, yeah. For sure.
A more serious story from TMZ. Federal agents have now raided the home of Sean Diddy Combs in L.A. to go along with the Miami home and the New York home. Oh. And all parties believe this is in relation to the sexual trafficking story that is out there on P. Diddy. So that is, as of in the last couple of minutes, 4:42, they had raided the Miami home to go along with the New York and the L.A. home. So not good times for P. Diddy. That's not our top story, just, you know. No, that's not. I mean, no. Just wanted to update you.
give me, what is the cause of this?
There are sexual trafficking allegations out there.
Like R. Kelly-ish sort of thing.
I don't know the ish of any of this ish. I just know that that's the talk on the street out there.
Oh, right, my goodness.
How do I segue from that to baseball?
Very Ohtani.
Oh, I'll get to Ohtani in a moment. So let's talk about the Braves, who do open on Thursday with Spencer Strider getting the pill against Zach Wheeler. The Braves were winners today as they start to wind down spring training fun. Chris Sale made his final tune-up. He went three innings, three hits, six Ks. He was bringing it. I retweeted something at Real Matt Lanter where you can see, I mean, he looked filthy. His stuff, I don't know if he's going to stay healthy or not, but man, it looked filthy. Then you had Tyler Matzik, a scoreless inning. Joe Jimenez, a scoreless inning in two Ks. Raisel Iglesias, a scoreless inning in a K. Just to give you an idea what happened on the pitching side. Marcell Ozuna left the yard with a home run. Austin Riley hit a bomb. So the Braves trying to finish up strong down in the Grapefruit League. Now, I mentioned Strider starts Thursday. Spring training numbers are dumb and meaningless, but I did want to bring one to your attention. Strider, who made his final spring training start on Saturday against the Tampa Rays, he was scheduled to throw three innings, and he threw three scoreless. But Snit's like, he's just super efficient right now. Let's bring him back out for the fourth. So he gets the first two outs easy. He finally gives up a run and then a second run, ending a 22-inning scoreless streak. In spring training, he finishes up with 22 and a third, two runs allowed, a league-leading 34 Ks and only eight walks during the spring portion of things. So, again, those numbers don't matter, but you have to believe he feels great about where he is heading into the season.
And probably global for his spring experience, yes, I feel good going. He was not happy. In fact, the word he used was sloppy, and he was typical Strider.
He's ultra-hard on
himself.
Yeah, always.
Really, really is. But it's just it is intriguing to think what's ahead for him if that curveball is as lethal as it might be.
Well, if he harnesses any of his secondary stuff to go along with the fastball, it's lights out. I mean, it's just the way it goes. Now, Chuck, if you want to leave tomorrow morning, do the show from Philly, be in Citizens Bank for the opener on Thursday, get in prices all in, $163 on the Game Time app will get you into Citizens Bank to be in enemy territory. Now, if you want to stay here in this beautiful, comfortable city of ours and wait for the Braves to get back, the home opener is April 5th. Again, on the Game Time app, all-in pricing, $73 will get you in, and I'll let you know that you get $20 off your first purchase with the Game Time app if you use the promo code THEFAN, T-H-E-F-A-N, $20 off. You'll be in for the opener, maybe that weekend. Download the Game Time app. THEFAN is your code. So you have two options, Philadelphia here. Jump on it. Get after it. Shohei Ohtani is meeting with the meeting. Shohei Ohtani is going to read a statement.
Shohei Ohtani.
At 5:45 tonight. They're not letting cameras in except for the MLB camera, MLB Network, and then one of the sports networks in LA. That's it. Nobody else. No questions. No other media. It's Shohei that we heard yesterday was doing a press conference. This isn't a press conference. This is Shohei with guidance from his attorney saying, read this statement that says it's an ongoing investigation with a translator. Can't really say anything else. No further questions. I'd like to focus on baseball. That's what this is going to be.
Since this is an active investigation and an ongoing legal matter, I just can't answer in detail. And so at this time, my focus is on the season ahead. Thank you for your patience.
We will find out what his focus is on because this is the first time in his life I guarantee he's had this kind of real life distraction. I don't know what happens here. My gut tells me is money makes all this stuff go away. When you have a lot of it, other people take the fall. You get a slap on the wrist, and you keep playing baseball because the last thing baseball wants and Rob Manfred wants is this guy being taken away from the game right now.
I don't know a damn thing about soccer and who should win or not.
Probably either to see.
I think I could have done better than losing $4.5 million.
Could you do better than losing $15 to $25 million?
Oh, that's the...
Those are the Brandon Lang accusations. Remember Brandon Lang? Used to be on with our old morning show.
He's Matthew McConaughey.
He was played by Matt McConaughey in Two for the Money. So Brandon Lang on the Sports Junkies podcast said his source has told him it's likely closer to $15 to $25 million in gambling debt owed by Shohei. He said it was Shohei gambling. The bets are by Shohei Ohtani. But again, I have no idea what to make of this. It's Brandon Lang. What are his sources?
I heard this. That's all it is. I heard this.
Right. No idea. But 5:45 Eastern Time, 2:45 Pacific, he will address some of this stuff. So I don't know. We'll see what becomes of it. All right, before we get to the NCAA tournament, Kirby Smart probably wants to forget the weekend that Georgia just had. He's had a lot of great weekends in Athens. This one probably not ranking near the top. Mm-hmm. When he's awoken early Sunday morning, the phone, it's 6 a.m. He goes, damn. In this case, he was being notified that his transfer running back from Florida, Trevor Etienne, was arrested, booked, and then released at 5:27 a.m., charged with DUI, reckless driving, affixing materials that reduce visibility for windows and windshield, failure to maintain lane, and proper driving on the road, posted $1,800 bond, according to the Athens-Clarke County Records.
It's a serious charge, obviously, to be dealt with. Is that window tint, maybe? Or is that something a little more...
Affixing materials that reduce visibility. You have dice, fuzzy dice hanging from the window? I don't know. Is that still a thing that people do?
The air freshener?
I don't think that would block you from... Is that a semi? No, that's my tree that's hanging from the dash. No.
Why did you hit the school bus? Well, the pine tree was
couldn't
in the way. I
it.
Just couldn't...
So I don't know. I've never been stopped for affixing materials that reduce visibility of windows and windshield.
Hey, again!
We're going to have Bruce on Wednesday. We could ask Bruce all about this stuff. So, the other news for Georgia was they saw one of their top recruits, five-star DL, Justice Terry, who was in some of the rankings the number one DL in America. He flipped from Georgia to USC, and it was described as a full-court press led by a ton of folks out west, including Aaron Donald, who helped USC.
With a bag. That's what...
It's okay. It's allowed. Go get it.
Absolutely, but don't figure out the deficiency of Georgia or whatever. Yeah. USC's offer, it was the biggest bag so far is a bag.
So Georgia will flip somebody else's 4- or 5-star coming up, and they'll flip two more, and they'll still finish first in the rankings in the recruiting season. Like, it's a big deal, but it's Georgia. They'll figure it out.
Can I tell you else? Something about a 4-star or 5-star kid. There's like, I don't know, like a 51% chance that the kid transfers. You'll get another bite at the apple if he's out there and he's running and lifting and trying to grow and get better on USC this time. In a year or two, he'll be a better player when you get another shot at him.
Yeah, it's not just flipping him before he goes there. It's getting him back after he goes.
Yeah.
It's always the case these days. Okay, so here's the NCAA tournament stuff at this point. If you wanted the madness, it hasn't quite been the madness. The Sweet 16 is a lot of chalk. The favorites went 15-1 in the round of 32, which... The books get killed because what does the public play? Favorites and overs.
Overs, yep.
Favorites are 36-12 overall in the tourney. And in the final 16, in the Sweet 16, we only have one double-digit seed, and that's a red-hot NC State, which I want to mention NC State. They've now won 7 games in the last 12 days, meaning their head coach, Kevin Keats, has earned a $100,000 ACC tournament title bonus, $400,000 in a raise beginning next season, a 2-year extension kicked in when he was potentially going to be fired, a $25,000 bonus for beating Texas Tech, a $50,000 bonus for beating Oakland, and they're playing in the Sweet 16 later this week.
He's very motivated because there's another bonus.
I mean. So we only have one double-digit seed left. That's NC State. All the ones are left. All the twos are left. That's only the fifth time. The fifth time it's happened in tournament history. We have 2 3s and 2 4s and 2 5s.
Yeah, Auburn took the pipe.
Several teams took the pipe.
Enough. You didn't have to follow it up with that. You could have just left it.
I will mention after Yale upset Auburn on Friday in the first round, they became very popular on social media. In fact, the Twitter account, Yale MB&B, had to put a tweet out.
Men's basketball.
Right, because they were just getting bombarded with people, congrats, blah, blah. They wrote, our notifications are blowing up with basketball tweets. But we are the Yale molecular biophysics and biochemistry account. You may want to tag Yale men's basketball. So they had the wrong one.
Yeah, well, all the Auburn fans were yelling at the Yale players, you'll be working for us one day. So you always had the payback.
I'm sure the Auburn fans took it in stride. I'm sure they were very calm about it. Bruce Pearl didn't hear any grief. I'm sure it's good. Nothing to worry about there. Everybody takes an upset loss in the tourney just very comfortably. Two SEC teams are left. It's not been the best of times for the SEC. Texas A&M tried to save it a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, they had OT. Yeah.
So 2 SECs are left with Bama and Tennessee. 4 ACC teams, Duke and UNC, NC State and Clemson. So Thursday night, you're going to get Clemson and Arizona, UConn, San Diego State, Alabama, UNC, and Illinois, Iowa State. And then Friday night, you'll get NC State, Marquette, Gonzaga, Purdue, Duke, Houston, and Creighton, Tennessee. Why do we now feel the need for everybody to scream about Zach Edey? Well, like what? the takes on Edie are as extreme as he can't play a lick in the NBA to if he was playing 15 years ago, he would have been the second pick like Sean Bradley. There's no in-between on Zach Edey, who, yes, will play in the league. He'll be drafted in the first round, and he'll be a backup for somebody. I know that's boring, but that's kind of it.
What's his legit height?
I don't know, 7'5 or something?
7'4, I thought. Was it 7'4?
Sure, if you say so.
Okay.
Are we nitpicking at that point?
No. I'm just asking because I've always said, if you're a 7-footer, my measuring stick, would you be on scholarship if you were only 6'8?
Yeah, but who cares?
Okay. And it's always about how much, what percentage of your overall talent is tall? Like, what's his best skill? Tall. He's more of a basketball. He's a player. He's not just 7'4". Mm-hmm. Like, he knows what he's doing out there. I mean, I don't understand that criticism of him. He's a really tall basketball player.
Do you want some numbers?
Sean Bradley was just 7'6 and long arms, and it's like, by default, you're going to block shots.
So I've heard he's Taco Fall. I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. Zach Edey, the Purdue center, became the first player in the NCAA tournament to go north of 50 points and 30 rebounds in the first two rounds since Antonio McDice. Since Blake Griffin, but only the third because Antonio McDice did it in 95. So McDice in the first two rounds for Bama scored 61 points at 36 boards. Zach Edey, 54 points, 35 boards, and Blake Griffin at 51 and 32. That's the end of the list. Those are the three players who've ever done that.
It went 30 and 20 in the opening round, which was the first time since McDice had done it.
But why are people mad?
I don't know.
But why are people mad that he has a jump hook from 4 feet and he's taller than everybody? So, like, what do you want him to do? Shoot threes if he can't
shoot threes, bro?
That's what it is. You need to shoot threes because Karl-Anthony Towns shoots
Zach,
threes.
Wicked crossover, bro. Like, that's not really how he's going to get through the Portsmouth camp.
Wemby hits from 18 feet. I don't know. It's just like...
Hey, you know what? Wemby also needed a bodyguard to keep Britney Spears off of him. So, like, how tough is that?
He's just making everybody angry. Like, everybody...
I don't get the anger,
I
but
don't know.
Can, like, he's...
I know. But it's like, he's only tall. He can't... Maybe. Okay. I'm too busy to worry about Zach Edey that much to have that hot of a take on Zach Edey. But there apparently a lot of people who have a lot of free time who are going to scream and yell about Zach Edey. And Matt Painter, the head coach, was not happy. You know, he was put on the spot. So on Saturday, he was doing his presser the day before they played Utah State in the second round. So a reporter from Utah was trying to trap Matt Painter, but Painter wasn't about that life.
Jack Johnson, the Utah Statesman. Tomorrow, you guys, by all probability, are most likely going to win. You guys have all the favor. Like, if you're looking at the... you know, stats and whatnot.
Get it out,
like,
man.
The history
get it
behind
out. Get
the
it
matchup
out.
Between you two. What's Gosh. Your mentality going into the game, and what are you telling your players?
All right, let me explain something to you. Everybody in the NCAA tournament is really good. Now when you go to that 32, everybody is that much better. They're a really, really good basketball team. They are well coached. This is going to be a dogfight, all right? It's going to be a dogfight.
They won by 40 yesterday. But the question should not take Jack Johnson that long to get it out. The question is, Coach, you guys are a big favorite tomorrow. NCAA tournament brings a lot of pressure. What's your mindset? See how easy that was?
I cut out a lot more stumbling, too.
I'm sure you did. Because Jack Johnson, also a big musical hit of the late 90s, early 2000s, was not going to stop. He was trying to catch Matt Painter sleeping there. So Matt Painter was going to go, yeah, we're looking ahead to the Sweet 16. We know there are better matchups down the road. We're just going to show up tomorrow, roll it out. Have you seen Zach Edey?
You know, we're treating this like a scrimmage. Just stay healthy.
Next question. So he wasn't about that life. It wasn't going to happen. Then we found out a little bit about Dan Hurley, the UConn men's basketball coach, who is the defending national championship winning head coach. And he is not from your like world of superstitions don't matter. He's very superstitious. Take a listen to Tracy Wolfson during the game describing some of the superstitions of Hurley.
Dan Hurley is the king of superstition, especially on game day. He has to have 8 M&Ms before every game. He has to have a cup of bulletproof coffee on the sidelines at all times, and do not knock it over. And he has to wear the same suit and socks and shoes and, yes, the same Red Dragon underwear. And don't worry, it is clean. His wife, Andrea, travels with a portable washing machine. I mean, you can't make that up.
I don't believe they're always clean. That's part one. Part two, I don't know what enough did we... We'll find out more about Red Dragon. I didn't study what Red Dragon
I don't know what Red... Is that a brand or is like Dragon the brand? And he has some green dragons. He has some blue dragons. He has some red dragons.
For different days of the week?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then the other part is that the 8 M&Ms is something.
Well, that's OCD.
No, it's superstitious.
That's OCD.
If he had 9 M&Ms and they lost, he'd be very upset. I don't know what color M&Ms he chooses,
but he has the 8 M&Ms. Was there one more thing? Oh, what's the Bulletproof coffee about?
I guess it's a brand.
I mean, I assume, but like, is that some like, he's just high as a kite off that Bulletproof coffee? He's shaking. He's so, okay. Well, so far, so good.
Well, you don't drink coffee. You don't understand, Matt. It is a jolt of energy. It is just a wonderful, wonderful addition to your diet. I wish I had some right now, as a matter of fact.
I don't need coffee.
PM coffee.
I don't need. I have trouble sleeping enough. Do you know what coffee would do to that?
Oh, hazelnut with heavy whipping cream in it.
So I take my daughter to Starbucks because every 12-year-old girl needs Starbucks because she's got her Stanley Cup in one hand and her Lulu, you know, leggings on. So I've got to take her to Starbucks. I don't order for her. She leans across the car, head out the window for her mocha, something, refresher, this, that, and the other, and the whole thing. So that's all I know about coffee. And I wait in that line for 20 minutes because I love her, and I pay $18 because I love her, and I'm an idiot.
What is a portable washing machine, by the way?
I don't know. It sounds made up. I don't know what that means.
It's like, not getting clean.
I mean, come on. She's just saying that so we believe he's not wearing dirty drawers. Portable.
It's like an ice cream mixer or something? Like, what do you...
Remember the girls would always play with those easy-bake ovens? This is an easy-bake washing machine. You're at a hotel, and I guarantee UConn's staying at nice hotels. Send it down to be laundered. Send the drawers down with the suit, and she's... I'm supposed to believe Dan Hurley's millionaire wife is schlepping a portable washing machine, and she's scrubbing that thing in there. Okay.
You got to make a choice there. You can get them clean in the sink, but... then you just scrub the drawers in a place where you're going to be brushing your teeth. and you can use the blow dryer, and you can, so they can get.
You spray it with some cologne.
They can get wet with some soap on it, and then they can be dry later. I don't know if that's the same as clean.
So there is a portable, foldable mini washing machine for $28. There's a portable compact mini for $90 on Amazon. There's one at Home Depot.
None of this sounds thorough.
No, none of this sounds efficient either. She's going to take this on the road with her on the plane. Either he's got dirty drawers or they're washing it at the hotel. And that's fine. Both are okay, too. Everybody's done that one. Because he's only on the road for one game, typically. He goes back home after playing during the regular
season. Tournament.
Well, that's tough.
Yeah, because that's not even a night off.
No, that's tough. That's a challenge. That becomes a little bit much. Right, let's get our worst idea.
Get ready for Chuck and Chernoff's worst idea.
As we celebrate Braves opening week, we've been taking your worst idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We asked you for a 90s Brave player that never made an all-star team that just pops into your mind. Chris said Damon Berryhill. Nice player.
With the Jays, too, yeah.
Fat Casey went with Tommy Gregg.
Tommy Gregg, left-hander number 9, left-handed
16,
hitter.
Number 16.
Oh, 16.
Number 9 was Terry Pendleton. Now, maybe Gregg wore it before him, but I remember 16.
He might have been a Wake Forest guy.
Chris said Ron Gant. Didn't Ron make an all-star team somewhere?
Oh, he's a National League left fielder, yeah.
Somewhere. Cliff Harrison went with Homer the Brave.
Was he the...
Can't really have this one anymore.
Oh, I was about to say the kind of racist-looking one that...
When you say kind of.
Yeah, I can't really have that one.
Tama Hawkins said Mike Kelly. He really was supposed to be the next great player.
Oh, first round pick at Arizona State.
Looked the part, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
Eddie went with Ed Giovanola. Oh, that brings me back. Chris went with Brian Hunter.
Not Brian L. Hunter.
Nope. JZB went with Keith Mitchell, the cousin of Kevin Mitchell. Rob went with Rafael Belliard. John gave us Dave Gallagher. Nice pull. Otis Nixon, the Lemur. Marvin Freeman, Jeff Treadway, Jim Presley did play here in 1990. Mike Devereaux, Eddie Perez, Tony Graffinino, Jerry Willard. You guys did great. Somebody said Greg Olson. He was a 1990 All-Star.
He was in Wrigley.
So, Michael, you're on Twitter suspension.
I want to say he had Chipper's number.
He wore number 10. He did indeed. It was his number at the time.
I'm sorry. Chipper took his number after Chipper had Brian McCann's number.
He had 16. He did indeed. All right. You can send your answers to the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. We will ask a Hall of Famer about his first time.
Tom.
And his birthday. How do you celebrate a Hall of Famer's birthday? Find out next. Hello, everybody. Chuck and Chernoff are on the radio. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're with you till 6, so 30 minutes from now, you will get 680 Rewind, recapping all the big things that have happened on this radio station throughout the day, starting at 6 a.m. with the Locker Room, and then at 10 a.m., the Buck Belue Show, and 11 to 2, Domino and Cellini. It's going to be a busy time around these parts. Nick and Chris will take the Domino and Cellini program to Athens Wednesday for a sit-down with Kirby Smart. We'll have Braves opening day on Thursday. You have your 680 The Fan app ready and tapped, and you can enjoy all the fun of that. Speaking of the baseball and the Braves, we get a Hall of Famer with us once a week.
He's a Hall of Famer, an Atlanta legend, and again this season, he's only on one station.
And there it is, career strikeout number 1,000.
Struck him out. Seven strikeouts through five.
And that's 300 wins for Tom Glavine.
It's the Tom Glavine Show, presented by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
The Hall of Famer back with us. We're very excited to have him back for 2024. He's Tom Glavine, who joins Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. Tommy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're very excited to welcome back the Hall of Famer and the new season. So it's not often on the radio I ask anybody about their first time, but I will in this case with you. When you found out you were getting your first opening day assignment, albeit in a different era, butterflies, nerves, excitement, what did you feel and try to put yourself in Spencer Strider's situation, who will do the same on Thursday?
You know, I think for me at that stage of the game, it was certainly excitement, anticipation, and a little bit of surprise. You know, I don't know that it was something I anticipated, but, you know, nonetheless, I got it, and it was the kind of thing that I think, you know, it's one of those things that you, when you're going through for the first time, it's kind of like, okay, well, who would have ever thought I'd be an opening day starter for a team? So that was pretty cool. And I think Spencer probably is in a little better place than I was. And I don't think this will be his last. But for me at that time, I wasn't sure I was going to get another one.
So I remember asking you about this time last year. I was like, I'm going to way overspeak here. I was like, there's some elements of Doc Gooden here. And you were like, yeah, that's probably okay to say that. And I was like, holy hell. And if you remember, everybody knows the heater with Doc, but it was the curveball that would just buckle people. Talk about Spencer adding the curveball. That's just a wicked combination for a guy who can hit 99 easy.
Yeah, and I think that when you know, when you look at Spencer or looked at Spencer last year, you know, I think a lot of people looked at him and thought, man, if he could add another pitch, it would really complement that fastball slider. You know, look, the fastball slider combination is devastating, obviously, when it's on. But I think it's one of those things where, you know, when everything is hard, so to speak, on your off days, I think it makes it a little bit easier for the hitter to track that, you know. And I think that now being able to add another secondary pitch, a breaking ball that obviously has a different break but is a built-in change of speeds, I think that makes it extremely hard for a pitcher, you know, similar to me. And with my fastball changeup use, right? You have that top end on your fastball, you have that bottom end on your softest off speed pitch, and the greater that is, the harder it is for a hitter to cover that range. So I think that's the case with Spencer, right? If they're worrying about 95 to 100 on the fastball and 92, 93 on the breaking ball, not a lot of separation velocity wise, but now all of a sudden, if you mix in that breaking ball. And that breaking ball is in the high 80s, and it's a change in direction in terms of the break. That's a big range for a hitter to have to cover. And again, I think it adds to. I know it did for me once I developed my changeup. You know, when you have that secondary pitch that you can rely on, it makes your good days obviously really good. I mean, like you're dominant, but it makes those days where you're off a little bit better to manage because you're not so locked into what your options are. You have more options, and I think you have a better chance of surviving on the days when you don't have your good stuff.
The Hall of Famer Tom Glavine with Chuck and Chernoff on The Fan. So we know pitchers are warriors. That goes without saying. But in this case, the Warriors and Spencer and other pitchers are going to have to go from pitching in 75, 80-degree weather for the last 6 weeks to Thursday. It's supposed to be crummy, some rain, mid-50s, maybe even dipping down to the 40s. How much is that an adjustment on his body or a pitcher's body?
Well, I'll remind pitchers something that it probably took me a little bit to realize, and it's kind of one of those things I wish I knew now what I didn't know then, or however that saying goes.
Oh, you got it. You nailed it.
You know, I can promise you, as difficult as it is for a pitcher in cold weather, hitters do not want to hit in cold weather. They don't want to hit. And you know, if you hit, you get one fastball in on a guy's hands and rattle that bat, or get a breaking ball off the end of the bat and rattle that bat, those guys don't want to get back in there. So, you know, I think even more so for these guys that are velocity guys, you know, hitters don't want to hit that in cold weather or mishit it, I should say. So, you know, I would say whatever adjustment it is for pitchers, and it is because you don't have nearly as good a feel on the baseball when your hands are cold. But I can promise you the hitters like it even less than we do, so take advantage of it.
All right, there are images we have in our mind, and sometimes we're way off. Turns out I was kind of right on this one. I had this idea in my mind that about once a start, Charlie is going to hit somebody on the foot with a slider. And I was like, no, that's not right. I went and looked. He's led the league the last nine seasons. He's led the league in hit batsmen four times. He's finished second twice. What's going on there? And it's fine. I love watching him pitch. The ball looks like a damn Frisbee sometimes. But what's going on with the hits batsman, like literally that pitch?
You know, I think for him, again, one of those guys who, you know, that breaking ball is, you know, I don't want to say it's a max effort pitch, but there's a lot of effort in that pitch. I mean, he throws that pitch hard. He's looking for a ton of spin. And I think for him, when he gets into situations where, you know, maybe he's ahead in the count and he's trying to bury that back foot slider, those are the ones that he holds on to too long. You know, I know, again, not the same, but somewhat the same. You know, for me, if I had two strikes on a guy and I was trying to get a chase changeup to a righty, well, obviously I'm not going to hit him, but that's the one I'm more prone to throw in the dirt, right? Because you're trying to get it to finish in a certain spot. Now, I think the same is true for Charlie on that pitch. He's trying to get it to finish in a certain spot. I'm sure he's envisioning that pitch finishing somewhere between the back of home plate and the hitter's foot. But if he holds on a little bit too long or spins it a little bit too hard, you know, the margin for error is not great, right? So that, I think that's what happens. He tries to bury it a little bit too hard sometimes. So whether he throws it too hard or spins it too hard, you know, in any event, it's that one that he's, you know, holding on to for a touch longer and ends up hitting the hitter in the foot. But, you know, you're right. He does it a lot, but when he's on, man, it's sure fun to watch.
Back foot slider, Charlie. When you were in your final couple of starts of spring, so I saw where Max went six innings in his and Spencer went five and a third or five and two thirds. How long did you want to go? And I'll use the term max effort, and I know that's probably not going to apply to everybody, but how much were you treating it like a regular season start so when you did apply it to what happens at the end of this week, it felt pretty normal?
I would say your last couple starts are kind of season-type starts. You know, it's like I've always said, I don't know, you know, I don't know what guys are doing nowadays. I'm assuming they're getting six or seven spring training starts somewhere in there, five or six, somewhere in that range. So, you know, I know, again, for me, I've said it a lot. You know, the first couple times you go out, you're just trying to get comfortable. You're trying to find home plate. You're trying to establish your fastball command. You're bringing along your breaking pitch. You know, you don't really worry about sequencing pitches all that much. You're just trying to get a feel. You don't even think about the running game. That's the last thing on your mind. So, you know, I think as time goes on, all those elements start to come into play more and more. And I think by the time you're out there, you know, your last couple of starts, I think they're pretty close to game time. You know, you're trying to, you know, obviously, unless you're playing a team like in the Braves case, if they're playing in the National League East team that they're going to face five times during the course of the year, then, you know, if you've got a little wrinkle that you're adding, you may not show that to the hitters. You might hold on to that. So other than that, I think you're starting to treat those last couple of starts like it's a regular season start, in the sense that now you're really starting to get the mental process of the game going. You're starting to think about sequencing. You're starting to think about how you're setting hitters up. You're starting to obviously worry about the running game and pay attention to all those things. And then I think your last start, it's all of the above. You just know you're going to back it down in terms of volume of pitches. So, you know, whether it's 80 pitches or 75 pitches or whatever you did, you know, I think you tried to treat those 80 pitches like, okay, this is a real game. Let me go out here and you know, kind of think through this thing like I'm going to my first start of the year, just knowing it's going to be a less volume.
You were mentioning everything is based off velocity now. That's where it all starts. I was raised watching baseball. This guy, Randy Jones, won a Cy Young with the Padres in the 70s. His sinker was about 71 or 72, and he'd just throw it all night. Charlie, again, or a major – it's not unusual, a sinker being thrown at 94, 95. Are there different speeds like that variable for the sinker as a for instance now? Because like you were talking last year, Hunter Green throws 101 mile an hour slider. So like everything's a velocity pitch now.
I think, you know, I think for some guys there are, you know, I think for the most part, you get a guy, you know, who's a high velocity four seam guy. If he throws a two seamer as well, he's not going to have as high a velocity. It's not to say he doesn't have the same effort level, but you know, with less seams, you get less spin, so you get less velocity. And I know that was the case for me. You know, when I threw, my sinker was 86 to 88. When I wanted to throw a four-seamer in on a righty and I knew I was going to let it go, I could throw it 90, 92, somewhere in there. But, you know, that wasn't where I pitched. I think for the guys that do have two fastballs, like I said, fastball or four-seamer and sinker or two-seamer, yeah, there's a built-in velocity change there. And that's how I tried to use my four-seamer and my two-seamer, you know. It was a natural built-in change in velocity just by changing my grip. So to me, in essence, it was two pitches that I had. You know, I don't know how many guys do that. Not a lot of guys that do that in today's game. I think most guys are predominantly four-seam guys. You know, some of your veteran guys will be four and two. But, you know, I feel like if you can throw a four-seamer, you ought to be able to throw a two-seamer. And it's just, like I said, a natural built-in change of speeds. But, you know, I think that's where for a lot of guys who are that velocity fastball guy, that velocity slider guy, if they don't have that one pitch that they can throw that takes a little bit of velocity off of a pitch, you know, I think those guys are a little bit easier to track and a little bit easier to follow. And that's why I think that curveball for Spencer is going to be such a great addition.
Glav, last thing for you. As we all assume this will be Max Fried's final year in Atlanta, nothing's written in stone, but that's the way it feels. How much pressure is on him, A, to stay healthy, but B, to perform like he did before the last couple of years when he ran into some injuries, knowing he's heading to the open market? Because I'm sure you had that heading into your walk year, knowing those things were coming.
Look, it's, you know, everybody's situation is different, right? And I think that I'm not speaking for Max. I can speak for myself. You know, going into a contract year, when you know free agency is pending, I think for me, you know, I had always assumed I was going to be in Atlanta, didn't work out, but, you know, you still have that uncertainty looming over your head, right? And I think for Max, you know, that's certainly going to be the case, right? And I think for him, you know, he's obviously going to want to stay healthy. I think that's the biggest thing he has to prove. But he, you know, you also want to have a good year. So, you know, there's pressure in all of that. And it's not to say that, oh, he wants to have a good year because he's going to be a free agent and he didn't want to have a good year last year. Of course you do. You go out every year and you want to have a good year. I mean, that's, you know, that's the essence of putting on a uniform. You want to go out there and be the best you can be and be the best in the game and do all of those things. But I think in a contract year, all of those things are still there, but they're magnified. But, you know, my advice to Max would be, control what you can control. You know, when you go out there every fifth day, that's what you control. You don't control anything outside of that or beyond that. Just go out there and pitch when it's your turn to pitch and do the best you can and just roll with it. See what happens.
Glav, we would be remiss if we didn't wish you a happy 39th birthday.
Yep. I'm trying to forget my birthdays nowadays, but thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What are we now? You're trying to forget it.
Steady.
This is a bad reporter on my part, the follow-up boy. What will we do? Does the wife take you out? Do the kids call? Like what happens on the birthday?
It's been a pretty, you know, I just had lunch with the wife and now I've got a, you know, a little middle school baseball game. I got to go coach and I'm going to come home. She's going to make me dinner. So it's going to be a good day.
It's what they call low key birthday fun.
That's right. That's right.
Well, happy birthday, Glav. We're so glad to have you back for another season and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. You guys have a great week.
There's the Hall of Famer and the birthday boy, Tom Glavin. All right, coming up, it's time to close up some loops. We call it unfinished business. These are things on the show that we just left open-ended, and we can't let you leave for the night without giving you some answers. So we're going to educate producer Cullen on an epic moment in Braves history, and we find out how the gas is actually passed. Very mature program. We'll get those answers and more next.
We all know Chuck has a lot of random thoughts throughout the show.
Why don't you have him cutting his penis off then, huh?
And Matt likes to tell crappy jokes no one understands.
We're looking for Uranus.
So now it's time to circle back on some stuff we didn't get to the bottom of. We now present to you Unfinished Business, presented by Zero FG Energy. Live free with Zero FG on Chuck and Chernoff.
Let's get down, let's get down.
Time for some unfinished business with Chuck and Chernoff as we wind things down on this Monday before turning it over to 680 Rewind. Fan Rewind gives you all the best moments from your 680 The Fan broadcasting day. Chuck and Chernoff here, you all there. Shohei Ohtani in L.A. reading a prepared statement. I will give you a couple of quick notes from what Shohei Ohtani, his interpreter, had to say. Quote from Shohei, Ipe, that was the interpreter, has been stealing money from my account and telling lies. I'm very saddened and shocked that someone who I trusted has done this.
Shocked, I say.
So that's part of the statement from Shohei at this point. Again, not taking questions, only allowed a couple of cameras in, trying to control the proceedings there in L.A.
Did he or the interpreter say clutch the pearls? Like, did
I did not see that as a quote. He said, I've never bet on baseball or any other sports. I've never gone through a bookmaker to bet on sports. That's another quote from Shohei. Again, he's not under oath. It's not like he can perjure himself, but those are quotes from Shohei's statement that he is reading. All right, Brian Gephardt is here. Let's close up some loops here.
Yeah, Bracket of Brad Backets is out.
Or what?
Bracket.
Again, huh?
Bracket of Bad Brackets. There we go. Slow it down. I'm sure that one will be clipped.
It just
we'll hear
means
that
we love
one again
you.
Soon. Yep. Round of 32 is up. Make sure to go out and vote for that. Colin doesn't know who Sid Bream is or what the slide's about or anything of that nature.
That's impossible.
Can you guys fill him in for me?
Okay, well, let me just give you a little background. I wasn't born when Elvis was performing. I know what songs he sang. Sid Bream,
I know Elvis,
was on second base when a guy named Francisco Cabrera in the ninth inning against the Pirates in Game 7 of the 92 NLCS.
That's a good closer.
Hit a smoker into left field that scored the tying run, which I believe was David Justice. And then Sid, who shouldn't have been on second, should have been pinch run for it. It's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Took forever as he lumbered to the plate.
And he was, I mean, chugging.
He gets under the tag of Mike LaValier, and the Braves win, and they go nuts. You know, it's the most famous play, potentially, in Braves history.
Braves win. Pause.
Braves win. Do you, haven't you seen that a million times?
Sid would tell you I wasn't fast. I should not have scored.
I didn't need him to tell me that.
I could have
cracked that case. Colin, honestly, how little do you know about that play?
It's as famous. There was an error by a second baseman who never made errors.
Jose Lean, yeah.
I don't know a lot about 90s baseball in general. And yes, I'm a Braves fan, but no, I don't know the specifics.
Barry Bonds, who had gold
gloves. I was born in 96.
I understand. I was born in 77. I know things that happened before I was born. Okay.
There's a really good outfielder named Andy Van Slyke. He just sat down center field, wouldn't leave.
Now, the rumor was,
before
the base hit by Cabrera, he was yelling at Bonds to come in. Bonds gave him the middle finger. I don't know if that's true. That feels like the story that's been embellished about Eugene Robinson having the Man of the Year award in the back seat when he got stopped by a
And as
a
I
cop.
Remember it, Barry threw the ball and it went bounce.
He had a bad arm. All right, what else we got?
I got a VHS tape out there somewhere that is me calling this play as like an 8-year-old. Remember that thing in Turner Field where you could go in and record some of the old stuff?
Sure.
I will try to do some homework and get that audio for you guys.
Please.
We mentioned earlier about the Steve Nash-led 15-seed Santa Clara team upsetting number 2 Arizona. Did a little bit more research on that. Happened in 1993. Santa Clara had a roster full of first-year students, including Nash, apparently, in that game. Arizona went on a 25-0 run at one point to take a 46-33 lead. You had Chris Mills get into foul trouble, and then he was out for about 10 minutes.
Damon Stoudemire's on that team, I believe.
And Damon Stoudemire was on that team there as well. So, big, big upset in 1993.
Is that Loot still, right?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of Stoudemire and Tech Hoops, you guys also mentioned Josh Pastner bringing the Jackets to an NIT final one year. That was 2016-2017. They took on TCU and lost 88-56.
No recollection. They got beat by 32 in the NIT final?
Yeah.
Did it really happen?
Yes, they went on a run.
It was tough.
We watched it. We both did.
Wow. What a memory. Anything else? Or are we good?
No, that's it.
How depressing, Gephardt.
Yeah, we tried.
Okay. Colin, tonight, you two. Sid Bream.
I'll do that. That'll be fun.
Okay. Good carry. Wow. Watch the ninth inning, dude.
When you told me to watch Golden Girls, that's not what I'm going to do. This one I will actually go do.
You're missing out on Golden Girls, number one. And I would tell you, focus on the fat guy jumping on the dugout. I always see that fat guy. Every time I watch that video, he's just jumping up and down on the dugout going nuts.
If one of them makes you feel funny, that's Rue McClanahan.
That was her goal. She's kind of a sex pot for an old lady. All right, we got to go. Thank you to Brian Gephardt. Thanks to Colin Madden. Thanks to Dave Hubbard and you guys for spending your Monday with us. We're all back together tomorrow at 2. Good night now.
Okay, bye.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.